This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
They invite people from New Zealand to their country, and every 3 years we have a big show in the world somewhere. In fact, New Zealand are hosting at this point in time the World Association of Flora Art. And because of COVID-19... we had to cancel all the arrangements that were made for October and November, and now we can't get... It's really started till April next year, the meeting, so we hope that it'll go on. So our committee, who in New Zealand are the body of the association, They've had a very busy time, and having to explain what, well, everybody's not travelling, that's all there is to it.
So how many would normally come?
Oh my goodness, we would have at least 15 countries, 18 countries, and they might have a team, they might bring a... the last one they've had was in India, and our girls have just come, they came back about all... Actually, it was just at the start of lockdown. It was be last April, and we had two from our club who went on the trip. So it's great, and that interest has taken me to Australia, South Africa, Canada, Scotland, London, France.
Italy?
I think some other country which I can't.
Italy? Did you go to Italy? Did you go to Italy?
No, I didn't go to Italy. Okay. No.
Would it be mainly English-speaking countries then, or?
Oh no,
Western countries.
We have to have an interpreter. We have from Germany. I don't think there are very many countries not represented, Asian countries, European countries, and a lot of them don't speak English.
So did you take your own materials? You knew what you were going to do?
Yes,
for any competitions.
Yes. And we had to get those inspected by, luckily with Massey it was easy, we could take them out to go through, of course, inspection to make sure there are no bugs and things. And I do remember in Canada the title that I had to do, I decided it'd be very good to take some proteas. I was doing a seascape, and I thought, well, is this? I could take those proteas. And I got them to Massey, and they inspected them, and they passed them. They said there's nothing wrong with them, and there's no roots or anything, and it's purely just a flower. And we got to Canada, we got to the airport, and do you remember that Neil was with me, and he picked up this bunch of proteas. When you're not taking these in, then dump them straight in the rubbish bin. So then I thought, what am I going to use? He passed the flax and he passed other things.
Neil?
The person in Canada.
So were they sealed at all? If they were inspected at Mercy,
no,
did they?
I had them in a box.
Ah, okay.
And in a big carton.
Yes.
And I had
all wrapped up,
tissue paper and all sorts around it.
And you had a certificate or something from Massey?
Yes, I had a certificate from Massey, so I was really cross. That was the only thing they dumped. So, of course, that was my centrepiece for this design, which you really need a point of interest. So when we got to, we were going to Toronto, so when we finally got to Toronto, someone gave me the address of a florist who might help us. So poor Neil, he offered, I don't know whether he offered, at the time whether I said, would you go and find this florist to get me these proteas to take the place. Well, it took him a long time to find this florist, as you can imagine, in a strange city. Anyway, by the time I was just about finished, I thought, I don't think I need those proteas. It looks quite good. Anyway, the proteas arrived and I tried them in and I took them out and tried them in and thought, what am I going to do? I'm going to take them out. And I left them. And I, when I'd finished, then of course we all had to leave the room that we were all working in. I didn't have the heart to tell them that I hadn't used the proteas.
And Neil, have you heard about this since? Well,
this the first time I remember. It's a bit vague now, but I do remember in Toronto going to pick them up. And I'm not a seasoned traveller. I remember all these high-rise buildings all around me and being somewhat lost amongst them. But, it's a bit vague, and I would...
But you came back as a married couple. You didn't actually just pass on the spot.
No. Well, then he forgave me. Especially when I got a second place.
So what did you use then? How come you
didn't I had an old rope. A great big, the rope they throw... What do they call them? They throw over and put it around the hawser.
For tying up.
For ships.
Huge.
A mooring rope.
Six... 5 inches and
very thick diameter.
Yes, they're big, heavy rope, which I'd found on the beach out of balls.
And that was passed by the customs.
Yes. And I'd had it for ages. It was very dry and it was lovely. It was about 6-8 feet long. And I had this rope as my sort of movement.
So you would have had a very big exhibit then.
Yes. It would have been it would have been at least a metre high. Yes. Hmm. And I think we were only allowed perhaps half a metre in.
Oh, as a base. Half a metre square base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yes. No, it was a big design. And I had these lovely rocks. But they weren't rocks, they were big pumice stones.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And of course everyone thought they were rocks and they were light as a feather. So that was easy. And flax. It was pretty simple.
Obviously did well though.
You didn't. Yes.
And if you'd had the proteas in, you might not have got a place.
No, I often wonder what would have happened. But it was interesting and it is exciting. I think there were 30 people just in our
category,
our title. Mm-hmm. And there must have been 8 different titles. And so there are a lot of people all over the world all exhibiting something in the title they enjoyed doing.
Amazing.
Very competitive.
Yeah. Mm. And these would be mainly older women, or...?
Oh, no, they range... I'm going back... When did we go to Canada? It was the 90s, wasn't it?
Would there be professional florists entering, or it's all amateur?
All amateur. Yes, they're all amateur. I think there might have been... some girl. Well, there would have been a lot of florists there who actually worked in florists, but it really wasn't for florists, it was more amateur.
Jenny, would there have been males there? Or?
Yes, there were 4 males, but now we have, there could be dozens of males doing floral art. It's a chappie from England, 3 from South Africa, a lot of South Africans do. It's become, floral art actually has become a really wide, world known hobby.
Well, if you're talking about pumice stones and rope and so on, there's a lot more than just it's not flower arranging. It's a lot more than that.
You try and get lots of different textures, colours, and this forms of the design, really.
So it's floral because there is some plant-based component.
It has to have plant material in it. Yes.
Okay. But you can have all sorts of other things as well.
Yes.
Bicycle wheels and bed springs and.
Yes.
I think some husbands, not this one. Some husbands get roped in to do a whole lot of engineering and welding. Not this one.
Yeah.
It's creating sculptures, isn't it?
It's very creative. It's become very different. I mean, well back before the war, in the 40s. 30s, and it was all very traditional. It was putting lovely garden flowers into a vase.
So when did Palmerston North, the Manitou, or Palmerston North, when was that club started?
Our club, we just had our 64th birthday. Was it 65? Yes. But we were associated with the Palmerston North Horticultural Society.
Okay.
And then I think it was 1960-something, we went, and I've been more than 1970, we went out on our own and called ourselves the Palmerston North Floral Art Club. Yes, that would be right.
Is there a big difference between the men and what the men create and what the women create? Their styles?
Not now, Jane. I think yes, it's hard to tell. The men perhaps do more modern work, but then so do some of the women too.
So what is modern?
Okay. Traditional work is when you have actually plant material forming a design, and it can either be a triangle or a vertical, a horizontal, a diagonal or a curved, and it's all in a vase or in a container. Now you can make a design like the one you can see sitting on my table, and the actual container is just pieces of wire tied together to form four legs and a base to put your arrangement on.
So not necessarily a vase in that case.
No, it's not in a vase.
No,
there's no actual fresh plant material in that particular one. It's all dried. Yeah.
Now, what you're showing us here, this is something that you entered in a competition just recently.
Yes, it was. It's entered in our club competition. And the title was Nesting. And a lot of people interpreted this in all sorts of ways, as you can imagine. There were several who had made little nests and they sat them in big branches and had artificial birds. I decided to do something a bit different with a type of succulent called aloe, and the leaves I could bend and twist, so I formed them into curves to look like birds' beaks. And
so all pointing up a bit, almost into a bowl shape. I think you've got five of these,
so
each tied to a wire stamp.
Looking into the centre. The centre.
It's a bit like a bower bird's nest, is it? With the curved pieces over, and then you've got the sort of nest in the nesting material in the middle.
Just some dry plant material. Yes, it has got plant material in it. So
brilliant.
And how did you get on in that competition?
I actually won it.
Wow!
Which was a big
very
surprise.
Good. Very good.
Well, I won my class. I mean, at Floral Art, we have beginners called novice, then we have the next group, intermediate, and then we have seniors, and then we have what's called open, and then a tricolour, and the tricolour are people who are trained judges, teachers, demonstrators, etc. Mm-hmm. So I had.
So you're in that level, are you?
I'm not that level.
Mm-hmm. And you won that level. That's
mind you, I have been teaching.
Yes.
For a long, long time.
So when you teach, what do you focus on?
You usually have a title for a teaching lesson, because then it's easy to judge, or not really judge, but show them how they can interpret a title.
Such as? Oh, like a nest, you
well,
mean?
Well, that was nest. We might have a... Come on, Jane, think of a title. We might have a season.
Or spring or something, yeah.
Yes, and so people can choose what season they decide, winter, summer, spring, autumn. But sometimes if we have a season, we might say autumn. Well, to interpret autumn, you immediately think of autumn colours, perhaps leaves. So we always try and interpret a title, which makes it far more interesting than just... putting flowers.
But then you've got complete freedom as to what your interpretation but you build you said there's a space dimension limitation.
Yes, you're limited to a space. And we're very lucky at our Floral Art Club. We have a lot of portable stands, like plinths, so we can all have a plinth to put our design on, and it means you can go as high as you like, but you can only do it the top of that plinth, which
you can't come outside that as long as the base is
not really. No.
Yeah, you mean you sort of can, but you're not supposed to. This is the. And are they rigid in enforcing rules in this, or it's a bit like rugby? Yes. You push things as far as you can.
Well, no, that the top of that plinth, we'll say it's 0.5 metre in diameter.
Yeah.
So you've got to stick within that 0.5 metre.
Okay, yep.
So if we're having a really competitive show, a proper show on the floor, you know, and we're doing designs from the floor, you're all actually given a metre square space, and that's your space, and you can't go over those lines.
I could just imagine appeals to judges and so on. That's leaning all right as the plants dry and sag a bit.
Was that brilliant? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Okay. Yeah.
But if you didn't do that, you wouldn't have be able to see that design properly. Because you'd have something right next door to it. So we do try and give a metre space, and then a metre, and then another space, so that hopefully each design stands in its own little area and is not interfering with the ones on the other side.
Now there is the issue with pliers. I was half joking, they might sag and so on, but there is a problem with plant displays in that sort of floral art, as the plants dry or age and wither.
this is the tricky part about making sure that they have got access to water in their design. So we have a variety of different things. We have something called Oasis, which now we're not allowed. Well, it's been almost banned because of.
Why is that?
Because it's not biodegradable, is that the word?
Not biodegradable.
Are you talking about those? Is it something like small balls that hold? Oh, the green blocks that you can stick plants in.
Yeah,
and they can hold water, can they?
They hold water, but they, some reason they never really break up. I mean, you can.
Okay, so they don't biodegrade at all.
So we sometimes can use a little dish and put what we call a needle point in it, mm-hmm. which is a heavy metal object with a whole lot of nails sticking out mm-hmm. of it, and you can put the plant material on that, and that can sit inside a bowl of water.
Okay.
We use a lot of test tubes, yeah. plastic tubes inside.
And you can wire those on to branches, can't you, as well, or to wire or whatever you're using.
Yes,
wire them on.
They're very good, and once upon a time we were never allowed to show that you're using test tubes. Now they've become all fashionable, and people have them hanging down or on visibly, and that becomes part of the design.
So is there some idea of you have this time to set up your design and it will be judged straight away, or it's going to be judged with, I mean, you don't want to do something in the morning and it's going to be judged in the evening when it...
It could might, be, yes.
It can, yes, it can.
Yes, so
it has
do
to...
Do you usually have a certain time to be able to set up your design?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be all out of the... Say the judges were coming at 2 o'clock. The doors would probably be open at 8, the girls to go in and do their design, and all out by 1 o'clock.
The girls or boys?
Mm. Or girls and boys. Well, the competitors.
Girls or boys.
The competitors.
Yeah.
Well done. And if you're going to a national show, it's all very, very strict. You're not allowed to have anyone with you to help you. You're all on your own. But you know, you can sort of have an odd remark to the person next to you, probably know quite well anyway, and say, how are you getting on? Oh, you know, it's a bit tricky, isn't it? Oh, I wish I'd bought another this. Well, I've got this, would you like this? So we sort of secretly I mean, it's competitive, but we have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Would you actually practice a design beforehand then?
Oh, normally, yes. Yeah. I do. I usually work out what I'm going to do. A lot of people are very good at doing something off the spur of the moment, and one of the titles is often they don't know what they're going to
improvisation.
Do improvisation I can't think of the title. That's stupid. They don't know what they're going to do till they get there. And they're given
impromptu.
And they're given a box of plant material and a container, and they then have to look at it and think, well, I've got 3 hours to think up something to do with this.
And they'd all be totally different to each other.
They're all different.
It's amazing.
Never see anyone doing
with the same idea.
The same plant material, the same. Actually, quite an interesting. Interesting one.
So would you tend to grow your own plants for the displays?
A lot of people do. Most of us, a lot of us, enjoy using plant material from the garden, and particularly foliage.
Yes.
All the foliage. But if you want something to last, you often have to buy commercial flowers because they'll last longer.
They've been treated?
If you've got a three-day show or a five-day show, you need it. They are allowed to replace if it's not compatible.
When you say they last longer, is it because they've been treated in some way?
Well, they're commercially grown, and I think a lot of them come from a hothouse, don't they? You know, and they grow under cover, whereas in the garden, you know, you've had a...
And I suppose that they'd be picked just before being sold, whereas in your garden, if you're trying to grow them in advance, you say, I want this to be ready on this day, and that might be quite difficult.
I mean, for instance, say you've got tulips or roses, you try and get them when they're in bud.
Yes.
And then they come out gradually. And it can be quite expensive if you have to buy all your plant material.
Yeah.
And this is why I think today... we're doing such modern designs using perhaps just lime that people don't have to get as much plant material as they would if you were doing a traditional mass.
Oh, okay, so traditionally you'd fill a bowl solidly or something rather than going for shape.
This is part 3 of 4. Tune in next week for part 4.
Thank you for listening to Manuatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.